Welcome to the October 16th edition of the First DPC Sermon Podcast. Interim Pastor Jerry Brundle continues his series of sermons on the book of 1 Timothy. Today we're in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. And the sermon is titled, It's Time to Get in Shape. Here's Pastor Jerry.
Well, as we have been in these past weeks going through the book of 1 Timothy, Paul's letter to his disciple Timothy, we see that Paul describes to us, to the church in his day, to the church in each day, to the church in our day, the threats to the church in Ephesus. And he talked about the fact that there were false preachers and false teachers teaching things that were contrary to the word of God, and he warned Timothy to come against those false teachers and preachers and stop them from their blasphemy. He told Timothy to make sure that as you either appoint or elect officers in your church, that you elect men and women who are qualified. Qualified meaning that they know and understand and believe the word of God, and that they understand, thirdly, that the church is under assault, not just from within, but there is an enemy and his demonic minions who are seeking to destroy the church. That Satan will never cease seeking to destroy the church until Jesus comes back, when he will finally see that his war was all for naught. So Paul gives a pretty good description to the problem in the city and in the church of Ephesus, and then he moves on from the problem to the solution, and he says to the congregation, you need to train yourselves in the Word of God. Train yourselves, he says, in the Word of God. It is so much easier for the enemy to deceive people if they aren't trained in the truth. We all know that's true. It's easy for anyone to deceive someone else if the one that they're deceiving doesn't have the facts. And of course, that was happening in Ephesus. The false teachers were good at deceiving the new believers because, first of all, many of the new believers wanted to believe what the false teachers were teaching, told they could do things they wanted to do anyway, and as well, they were not well grounded in the Word of God, and therefore they were rather easily deceived. And so Paul says to Timothy in verse 7, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourselves for godliness. Train yourselves for godliness. Now, we think about training generally as being physical training. We go to the gym. I went to the gym yesterday morning. I hate it, but I do it. But we go to the gym to train ourselves, to condition our bodies, to make ourselves in some measure as healthy as we can, or to make us better at some particular sport or whatever it may be. Getting in shape. We often will spend effort, lots of effort and time and even money in taking care of our physical bodies, of training our physical bodies to be as fit and sometimes as attractive, though I'm long past that age, or that comes into play. But nevertheless, as good as we can make ourselves physically, many people seek to do that through physical training. We rarely think of training like that for godliness. Imagine if there were a nationwide new program for training in godliness. You go to into any city in the country today, and you'll find at least one health club or gymnasium, maybe a dozen of them, with thousands and thousands of dollars of equipment there, and early in the morning and all day and late at night, men and women and young people working out. Imagine if there were spiritual fitness clubs coast to coast in our country. People getting up early in the morning to go to have their spiritual workout. Now, Paul talked about physical training. He was not against physical training, as he said, though, of course, back in those days, they needed much less physical training than we do today because most people worked all day long, 6 days a week or more, physically, and they had less fine food to eat, so they had less problems with the need to work out physically. But he still says that there is some value. There is some value in physical training. But then because he says in verse 8, bodily training is of some value. So we know that even then, it was important for people to do their best as they could to keep fit. Paul was serious about training themselves, though, for godliness. And if we are to listen to Paul and even think about training ourselves for godliness, there are three things we need to know about spiritual training. The first thing is that training is work. Physical training is work. Let's start with the physical. Physical training is work. If you're a trainer, you know that. It's why we call it a workout, not a slumber out or an easy time out. It's called a workout because it requires work. And it's not always fun. When I leave the gym, I thank God I'm still alive, in spite of all of my perspiration and pain. It's work. But at times it can be almost pleasant. I will underline almost. It's never really pleasant, but it can be tolerable when we know that it's being done for a purpose and we sense that we are actually at some level achieving that purpose. We're doing something that is actually good for ourselves. But time, energy, and so much work. And indeed, if we don't have an objective, if we get up one morning and say, I think I'll start a workout program, but don't really have a particular purpose in mind, we might go once or twice and go, enough of that. Don't need that anymore. I've done that. That didn't work. We have to have some objective or we will quit. We must want to achieve something so very much that we will get up perhaps early and put on our workout clothes and go to the gym or wherever we go, out to the track or whatever, or in our own homes, and do what is not particularly fun. But it's something that is worth the effort, worth the pain. Lose weight, improve our health, be better at some sport. We must be willing to pay the price. That's what every professional athlete goes through, or every professional musician, or anyone who wants to be very, very good at anything. We've got to be willing to pay the price of workout after workout after workout, session after session. How many of us in our life today desire godliness with that kind of passion? Do we schedule the time to strengthen our faith, our knowledge of God's word, and what he is calling for us to do in our day-to-day lives? You see, if the church across the nation were really serious about spiritual conditioning, about the church suddenly getting serious about its faith and rising up in strength and power of our faith and our witness, there would be spiritual salons all across the country. Now, many of them might be in churches, but there would be spiritual salons all over the country. No one could say, well, I didn't really have any place to go to get any help in my training for godliness. I couldn't find a Bible study group. I couldn't find the materials or a good book. There would be salons on every corner. And people would schedule early morning workouts at least 3 days a week to meet with their holy, loving God, saying, I need you more than I need 2 more hours in bed. And many people would spend many dollars on materials and supplies to train themselves in godliness if the Church of Christ were serious about training in godliness. We would exhaust ourselves if we needed to. If it was a busy day, we wouldn't say, oh, I couldn't do it this day, or and I couldn't do it on Monday, and I'm not looking good for tomorrow, because we would schedule our routines around our training in godliness. Something would fall off our schedule, but it would not be that. And people around us would see results in us. Not immediately. Might even take a real long time for some of us, but ultimately people would say, you've changed. You're different. What's happening in your life? I like you. I like you more the way you are now. But it hasn't happened in our nation. Do we take advantage ourselves of our opportunity to grow, even though there aren't spiritual training salons around? Do we attend adult Sunday school? Do we attend youth group if we are a youth? Do we attend small group Bible studies? Do we regularly and intentionally study God's Word? Regularly and intentionally. I am one of the most guilty people who, out of guilt, when I got a really busy week, I open my Bible and read a paragraph or a chapter and check it off in my mind. I've done that, and I've forgotten the whole chapter. But I did get it done. You see, because I was not training myself with intentionality. I was training myself with guilt. But I needed to do some Bible study today, and that was not Bible study. Are we ready to regularly and intentionally study God's Word? Read books. There are so many, many, many wonderful books in Christian bookstores about the Word that help us to understand it better and to understand how we need to change our lives better. Good materials available to us. If we don't do those things, we cripple our growth. A great athlete or a great musician would lose their skills if they didn't continue to practice. We have to really want to get better as men and women of God. And if we don't practice, and if we don't practice especially the hard things, anybody can do the really easy thing. Okay, I'll get into a routine. I really will. I really will do a Bible study 3 times a week. That's an easy thing. There are some ways of serving other people and loving other people that are harder for us. We need to train ourselves in those. Those are the outreach of the church. That's who Jesus was. That's who he sent his disciples out to be. You see, if we are not intentional about our spiritual training, our spiritual development, we will allow the world to crowd it out of our lives, out of our very busy, well-meaning schedules, doing all these kind and wonderful things, but not the things God commands us to do. And then time passes, and the opportunity is lost. And you wake up one day and look in the mirror and say, who the heck is that? Because 20 and 30 and 40 years have gone by and you realize you've lost all those years where God could have used you to make changes in people's lives that would be so important to them. But we were busy. So Paul says in verse 8 about while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. We see people in our lives. We see them all the time, even sometimes in our families. We see people who don't make much of themselves with their lives. There's something wrong with not being a success in the world's terms. But I mean, we see people who have gifts from God, but who are just not willing to put forth effort, and they never become what they could have become if they just exercised some discipline in their lives. It's a loss to them, maybe not a tragedy, but it's a loss. Every one of us should seek to be as good as a person as we can be, even in the world's terms, useful, helpful. But Paul says here, but godliness has value in every way, both in this present life and in the life to come. If we lose our opportunity for increased godliness. That is a tragedy. That is a tragedy. Now, the bad news is we all suffer from it. There's not a person in this room this morning who will ever be as godly as God has called you or me to be. But that gives us no excuse from not taking this moment forward and focusing our time and our resource and our intentionality and being all that we can be for God in the lot, in the years or the months or the days we have remaining. We have no idea what rewards God has planned for us for our faithfulness. God's word talks about rewards, but he doesn't explain what they are. We wouldn't understand them anyway. But God tells us that there will be rewards in heaven. He won't tell us what they are because then we'd try and get the reward rather than being the person that he wants for us to be. But we have no understanding of the rewards that we will sacrifice, give up, if we ignore the opportunity to grow spiritually. We will lose something for now in this life. We will lose something for all eternity. Certainly not our salvation. We will be saved forever no matter what if we are in Christ Jesus and loved. And heaven will still be greater than anything we can imagine. But God says for those who seek after godliness, there will be special rewards. That spiritual training will be worth the effort. Two, and it'll go a little faster from this point on maybe. Two, training is an ongoing process. It's not a quick fix. It's not an easy fix. You can turn on TV and say this ad for something. There's this belt that's got copper in it or whatever else, or magnets or something. Just clamp it on and live your life and you'll lose weight and you'll get strong and you'll become beautiful. That there's instant gratification in the world for what you want. There are shortcuts. We all know better than that. We wish that were true. But there are no shortcuts either to physical conditioning or spiritual. Our ancestors, wherever you're from, our ancestors from a generation or two or three ago worked 6, maybe 7 days a week just to survive, just to get through life, raising themselves and their families and getting their work done. There were no paid vacations. There were no sick days. The goal for the average couple was not to have even more leisure time this week, but to be able to get all the things done that needed to get done this week because next week starts tomorrow, and here we are all over again. And the goal was to get everything done. But with the fall of our industrialization and all of our automation, and it's a good thing, God, it's a blessing from God, we have what we call today in our nation leisure time. The difficulty is we have so much leisure time, whether we recognize it or not, that the world's distractions fill it up before we fill it up with God. And so we find ourselves desiring less to strive for those things that God would call us to, because there are so many things that I can do with my life, so many opportunities to have fun and to enjoy this and to enjoy that, and those pleasures are not evil in and of themselves, but our preoccupation with them is, and the enemy is still laughing. Though his time is short, he thinks he's winning. And sometimes in you and I, he is. We come to enjoying the world more than we enjoy the creator of the world and all the things that we think are good. We can't get faithful through a quick fix. We can't take a few days and go to a retreat, wonderful as that is, but that's not going to make us all by itself godly for the rest of our days. We can't take a few weeks through a course, or even a few months, or even take a year or two and do some study full time. See, unlike sports, while our training may not be evident, that training is taking place. We are getting better as we devote time to seeking after God. We seek to change something that's very difficult to change. We seek to change our nature. Think about that. How many of you have ever woken up in the morning and thought, gee, I wished I could change who I am. I wished I could be somebody different. I wished I could be the kind of person that so-and-so is. Well, God has plans for you. He's made you the way that you are, but he also wants you to seek the nature that he wants you to have. And that is not a quick fix, because we're a little bit off the path, most of us, and it's going to take some work to get back onto it. It's difficult. It takes relentless pursuit on our part. And sometimes we put that time in and don't see any changes in our own faith or faithfulness and get discouraged. It's kind of like the Chinese bamboo tree, if you're familiar with that. A Chinese bamboo tree, you can buy a bulb and you can put it in the ground and water it and give it sun throughout the whole growing season, and at the end of a year, there's nothing above ground. You think, that didn't work. It died. But you say, when next year comes, I'll take a chance that it's still alive, and you water it again and fertilize and nurture it, and virtually nothing happens in year two, or in year three, or in year four. And if you're still watering and fertilizing by the end of year four, you're going, I must be an idiot, because that thing is dead as a doornail. But you see, a Chinese bamboo, while we see nothing above ground, is spreading out all the roots all around it, preparing itself for growth. And in year five, it grows to 80 feet in height. It's kind of like what our spiritual training and conditioning is like. We go after it. We begin to seek God, and we study and we work and we try and we pour ourselves out, and we might say, gee, I don't really see anything changing. But at some point in time, we see it coming together because God is faithful. And we go, wow, I've changed. I'm not perfect yet. I got a long ways to go, but I can see that it was worth it. That I'm making a difference in the lives of other people. Make no mistake. You undertake a spiritual training course, and God will be faithful. Fruit will come. Might not be until year five, but when it comes, look out, it will really go. Lastly, training doesn't last. As I said earlier, you can't just train for a bit and think that'll be enough. I'm good enough for 20 years. I don't need to learn anymore, because we forget, right? We forget all the time. We wonder why we have to keep reading and reading and reading, or studying and studying and studying, and we say, I feel like I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, and we have a marvelous worship service or a retreat, and we feel so filled we can hardly stand it. What could be better than that? The problem is, as you all know, we leak. We're filled right up to the top, but we leak, and within days, sometimes hours or weeks, we need refilling and refilling and refilling. We need that study and that time with the Lord over and over and over again, because all of a sudden we read something and go, wow, I've read that 50 times, and all of a sudden it looks new to me. Because we spiritually leak. Imagine if you're a computer buff, if you're a nerd in computers, and you decided to not read any documentation or use any computer equipment for 5 years. Then you want to jump online and start doing stuff. Do you think you could do anything? Because the technology has changed. The circumstances has changed. You've got to stay on it all the time. It's not quite a perfect analogy, but it's certainly very similar to our walk with God. We've got to stay at it. If we're prepared and available to be used at the moment he calls for us to be used. Who'd want to fly from here to any place? And you get on board the plane and you see the pilot and you say, are you good at this? And he said, oh yes, I finished first in my aviation class. But that was 10 years ago. I've not flown since. I think you turn around and get off the plane. You see, we in all of our aspects of skill, we need to stay up to date in our training. Again, the question for you and for me is it valuable enough for us to commit to a spiritual training regimen. If not, we are fooling ourselves. We are fooling ourselves. That clock is ticking, and every tick is a second that we can never get back. And it's either a second that God looks down and says, with you I am well pleased. Or he's looking down and saying, I still love you, but where are you? So Paul says in verse 10, for to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Now, when it says here we toil and strive, the Greek words for toil and strive imply effort, even agonizing effort, like being on a piece of equipment and working out, and your muscles are screaming at you. We toil and strive because we want to get the very best out of us we can get out of us. Our goal is not to be as good as somebody else. God knows the gifts and talents he has for us. We want to get out of us the very best that we can get out of us, and let God worry about those next to us. And so we toil and strive. Why? Because we have our hope set on the living God. We get into spiritual conditioning programs because we have our hope set on the living God. Not in government, not in education, not in our own abilities, but on the living God. Our God is real. We seek godliness because our God is real. He's really, really there. And we are going to see him face to face someday. Paul says, you're not wasting your investment if you toil and strive for godliness. He says that God is the Savior of all people, especially those who believe. Now, in the Greek, that's not quite what it says, because you read this and you think, well, it means that God saves a lot of people, especially those who believe. He must also save some of those who don't believe, but that's not what it says at all in the Greek New Testament, because the word that is translated in the English here, especially, is equally validly translated specifically. And you read all of the rest of Paul's works, you know that he is meaning specifically here, not especially. Who is the Savior of all people, that is all who are saved. Specifically, here's who they are, those who believe. Paul is saying those who believe, and those who believe so much that it changes who they are in this life. That's who our God is. He saves who he chooses through his Son, Christ Jesus, out of his love and his grace and his mercy. And he calls for us to be his army until Jesus comes again. This is why we toil and strive, why we undertake spiritual conditioning, because we have our hope set on the living God. Are you toiling and striving in your life spiritually? Are you seeking intentionally? Are you seeking with intentionality goodness and godliness? Are you faithful in your spiritual training? Because for you and for me, it's time for us to get in shape. Would you pray with me? Lord, as we've said earlier, it's always been your desire that your children spiritually get in shape. But Lord, for our nation right now, there's never been a more important time for this nation, for the church of this nation to rise up together and individually, church by church, person by person, and undertake a regimen of spiritual conditioning that we will grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God, in our understanding in our lifestyle, in our outreach. May this church, Lord, be one of those that is known by its spiritual conditioning. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from God's Word. Tune in again next week for another sermon from the pulpit of First DPC in Anna, Illinois. Be sure and visit us on the web at www.firstepc.org or on Facebook at facebook.com/firstepc. Thanks for listening. This has been a production of First Evangelical Presbyterian Church of Anna, Illinois. Until next time, may God bless.